Alert fights a liquidity crisis despite strong sales. Scandal rocks the Dallas-Fort Worth Tracon. And the state of Maine hangs on to its tax on visiting aircraft owners. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 25th, 2008. If you wondered why the board of Thielert Aircraft Engines wanted founder Frank Thielert to step down as CEO, then dismissed him from the board, along with former CFO Ross Withagrosser, we're starting to get some focus on that. Discrepancies in the company's financial statements for 2003 through 2005 drove the stock to three-year lows, and now the company has filed for insolvency, citing, quote, immediate illiquidity, unquote. The cash flow crisis comes despite strong sales and the recent announcement by Cessna that it would offer a Thielert diesel in new 172s. The Thielert board also referred to information from the Hamburg Office of Criminal Investigation in explaining its action. Unfortunately, while all this is going on, convincing investors to be part of the company's restructuring plan has apparently been a tough sell. On Thursday, the FAA announced the removal of two high-level managers from the Dallas-Fort Worth Terminal Approach Control Facility after a report from the U.S. Department of Transportation's Inspector General alleged the intentional misclassification of operational errors. The FAA removed both the facility manager and the assistant manager and won't rule out further personnel actions. The report found that management at the Dallas-Fort Worth Tracon investigated operational errors and deviations, but between November 2005 and July 2007, intentionally misclassified 62 of them as either pilot errors or non-events. The matter was brought to light by whistleblower allegations. The IG found no evidence of misclassification issues beyond the Dallas-Fort Worth Tracon. The Air Traffic Safety Oversight Organization has started unannounced on-site audits at the Tracon, requiring monthly reports to the FAA's acting administrator. Additionally, the FAA says it will deploy software that automatically detects losses of aircraft separation by October 1st of this year. Lawmakers in the state of Maine have gutted a bill which would have ended a tax targeting pilots visiting from other states. Like Florida, Maine feels it's entitled to 6% of the value of your aircraft if it spends more than 20 days in the state the first year you own it, unless you can prove you've paid that much in sales tax in another state. If you paid 3% in your home state, Maine wants the other 3%, even if you have no residential or business ties to the state. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association says it worked closely with lawmakers and businesses to craft a bill that would have exempted out-of-state aircraft from that tax, but the Appropriations Committee reinstated the tax as a tactic to address an expected budget gap. Angel flights and medical airlifts are exempt, and you still have 20 days out of the year to visit without getting hit. But as AOPA points out, what if weather forces you to find another way home and leave your plane behind? That clock keeps ticking. Is there some reason we're not just boycotting states that do this to aircraft owners? The Los Angeles Times reports the FAA took legal action Wednesday to overturn a ban on Category C and D jets, those with approach speeds of 136 miles per hour or more, at California's Santa Monica Airport. The ban was passed unanimously by Santa Monica City Council in November and would include many popular business aircraft, including the Gulfstream 4, Challenger, and Citation 10. Category C and D jets account for about 9,000 landings and departures per year. That's about 7% of flight operations at that airport. FAA spokesman Ian Greger says the FAA has worked with the city for 6 years on the issue. Quote, "We made multiple proposals to the city, all of which the city rejected," unquote. The city calls it a safety issue, especially for residents near the runway ends. By enforcing the ban, city officials face outcomes that could include a federal lawsuit, misdemeanor charges, fines, and even jail time. Santa Monica City Attorney Marcia Jones Mutrie looked to the headlines to craft a response to the FAA threat. In her letter, Mutrie wrote that the FAA, quote, "is already under criticism and pressure from Congress for putting aviation industry convenience ahead of public safety. The city urges you to change your course and steadfastly put public safety first," unquote. Up next on ANN, AEA prepares to move its headquarters. The FAA takes a controversial new approach to infrastructure maintenance. And Frontier Airlines drops service to six cities. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The pace at which avionics are changing the way we fly is breathtaking. With all the new products and companies getting involved, you might expect the industry association which represents them to grow. Well, turns out it is. At its annual convention this week in Washington, D.C., the Aircraft Electronics Association told its members the organization will soon be moving to larger digs near Kansas City, Missouri. A growing staff and the addition of more services and benefits to members has AEA building a new 12,000-square-foot building next to the Lee's Summit Regional Airport. That's not too far from its current location. AEA President Paula Dirks expects a move in by late June. Quote, "We don't expect any delay or hindrance in services we provide to the general aviation electronics industry during this transition," unquote. The new headquarters will feature a state-of-the-art 100-seat classroom for training for and by association members. Okay then, time to update your Rolodex or your BlackBerry. Effective June 21st, the association's new address is Aircraft Electronics Association, 3570 Northeast Ralph Powell Road, Lee's Summit, Missouri, 64064. And the new phone number is going to be 816-347-8400. AEA plans an official grand opening celebration and open house during the AEA Central Regional Meeting from September 25th through the 27th in Kansas City. On Thursday, AEA honored three new recipients of its Lifetime Achievement Award: Tom Sternig from the Canada region, Paul Brenner from the Europe region, and Bruce Baxter from the Australia South Pacific region received the honor for their instrumental roles in the tremendous international growth of AEA. The association now has a membership of more than 1,300 companies from around the world. Membership spans 35 countries, with members from 15 of those countries attending this year's convention in Washington, D.C. The first AEA Lifetime Achievement Award was given out in 2001, but 2008 marks the first year in which more than one individual is receiving the award. The FAA has seen a philosophical shift in its maintenance of the nation's air traffic control infrastructure. Instead of focusing attention on 45,000 individual pieces of air traffic control equipment, the new trend is to evaluate overall system performance. The Associated Press reports that shift has its fans, but also detractors. FAA officials say the change is aimed at making agency inspectors more efficient, and is made possible by the fact that modern radar and other communications equipment is more reliable. Sid McGurk is a former air traffic controller and FAA manager who now serves as a coordinator for the air traffic management program at Embry-Riddle University. He says the new FAA policy makes sense to save taxpayers' money, and quote, "I see no degradation of safety with this policy shift," unquote. Among those on the other side of the debate, though, is Tom Brantley, president of the Professional Aviation Safety Specialists. That's the union that represents the technicians and inspectors who work for the FAA. He says problems are often fixed during planned outages after being caught during preventative checks, checks the FAA wants to eliminate. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association filed a grievance against the FAA earlier this month for failing to brief and then bargain with its members over those changes. The complaint asks that the FAA immediately stop implementing the new policy. A NATCA spokesman acknowledged to the AP, however, quote, "The only way they will stop is with public outcry or congressional action," unquote. Frontier Airlines Holdings announced on Thursday it has reached a mutual agreement with Republic Airways to terminate the airline's code-sharing agreement before the contract was to have run out. The move will phase out Republic's 12 aircraft from Frontier's daily operation by mid-June. The airline also announced it will end service to Sioux City, Jacksonville, Little Rock, Memphis, and Tulsa by the 1st of June. And the airline has canceled the start of service to Missoula, Montana. That was supposed to happen May 16th. Frontier President and CEO Sean Menke praised the job Republic has done. Quote, "Unfortunately, with current economic conditions and other business changes, we have been forced to drastically rethink the use of regional aircraft in our fleet mix," unquote. Frontier filed for Chapter 11 earlier this month after its primary credit card processor said it planned to drastically increase the holdback on tickets purchased on credit, impacting Frontier's cash flow. The airline says refunds and alternative arrangements will be made available to any customers affected by the schedule changes. Still ahead, a missing plane is found after 4 years. One consumer group comes out in favor of airline mergers. And the Mars rovers may be winding down. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A four-year-old aviation mystery may have been solved this week. On Monday, U.S. Navy contractors clearing the former bombing range on the tiny Puerto Rican island of Vieques found aircraft debris, including a tail number matching a missing Aero Commander 112. The Associated Press reports that human remains found nearby will undergo DNA testing, but investigators are pretty sure they've found Sheldon H. Prudhoff of St. Croix. Prudhoff vanished in his single-engine plane the night of February 15, 2004, on a flight from San Juan to St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, where he worked as an oral surgeon. A Coast Guard search turned up no trace of him at the time. Vegetation up to 15 feet thick covers much of that area in which the contractors were working when they found the wreckage. NTSB investigator Todd Gunther will remain on Vieques for several days to study the engine, fuel, and hydraulic systems in the hope of pinpointing the cause of the crash. The Navy quit using that island as a practice range back in 2003. Critics of the proposed merger of Delta Airlines and Northwest Airlines, including a number of skeptical lawmakers, have said the formation of the mega airline would serve to raise ticket prices and reduce customer choice. But one group, which claims to be an alliance representing a million members throughout the U.S., says the merger would, in fact, quote, create a pro-consumer market that will stimulate price, expand choice, and improve service for airline passengers, unquote. Robert Johnson is the president of C4CC, which stands for Consumers for Competitive Choice. He says of the proposed new mega carrier, quote, a seamless connection for business travels is important, and greater access for use of miles for travel should be important to frequent flyers, unquote. Consumers for Competitive Choice is the latest incarnation of a group known before last June as Consumers for Cable Choice, its name when it fought for deregulation in the cable TV industry. Before that, it was Consumers Voice, a lobbying organization for phone companies. C4CC insists that a merger of Delta and Northwest could improve international access for smaller communities. Pardon me, but isn't the whole point of merging to raise ticket prices enough to keep the airline solvent? Isn't that what everybody's expecting? The twin Mars rovers, Spirit and Opportunity, have outlived their planned 90-day lifespan many times over, but age is finally creeping up on them. Opportunity is reportedly suffering from a sort of robot arthritis. NASA said on Wednesday a small motor in Opportunity's shoulder appears to be wearing through its windings. It became intermittent more than 2 years ago, and now it's getting worse. Limited mobility in its arms is a big deal for the rover, because Opportunity's job is to roll up on interesting-looking rocks and conduct what mission managers call contact science. If the motor wears much further, the day may come when the rover can't lift its arm to start a new day. For now, the mission team has begun unstowing the arm at the end of each day's drive, rather than leaving it stowed overnight. Think of it as a little bit like having to sleep with your arm held over your head. And finally, workers at the Lockheed Martin plant in Palmdale, California, played host to some very special visitors on Tuesday. Four of the last F-117A Nighthawk stealth fighters still flying. The advanced planes won't be flying much longer. The four aircraft took off from Holloman Air Force Base last weekend, the last Nighthawks to fly from that southern New Mexico facility. Holloman is home to the 49th Fighter Wing, which flew the F-117A, but recently received its first F-22 Raptors. The Los Angeles Daily News reports Tuesday's ceremony in Palmdale paid homage to Lockheed's Skunk Works, the unit that developed the aircraft. Andy McElhaney, who's worked at Lockheed for 12 years, said he read that the F-117 is the most recognized aircraft on the face of the earth. Quote, "Just to see it, to come in the hangar in the morning without the lights on, it was the most awesome thing to look at," unquote. The aircraft will be mothballed at Nevada's Tonopah Test Range, where the first Nighthawk flew in June of 1981. They'll be stored in protective hangars, from which, in theory, they could be recalled if needed. But the hundreds of Lockheed workers and invited guests who attended the ceremony on Tuesday know that's unlikely. They said their goodbyes and lined up to leave their signatures on the plane's bomb bay doors, as is tradition. Nighthawk pilot Tom Morgenfeld is 64 years old now, and he called flying the plane, quote, "the most rewarding thing I've ever done. It was nice to be a part of an airplane that had a fairly important part in history," unquote. Or, as Lockheed VP Cheryl O'Leary told the crowd, quote, "We can all be proud of the groundbreaking legacy of the stealth fighter. We did own the night," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear my conversation from Lakeland with Max Trescott, noted CFI, author, and expert on glass panels in general, and the Garmin G1000 in particular. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.